Welcome to the DermVet Podcast. I'm Dr. Ashley Bourgeois, a board-certified veterinary dermatologist practicing in Portland, Oregon with animal dermatology clinics. I'm also a mom of two, just trying to find the balance like everyone else. Let's learn to ditch the itch, cytology, everything, and make derm more fun than frustrating. Welcome to another episode of the DermVet Podcast. We have talked about topical therapy quite a bit in other episodes, but today I just want to talk about bathing and just some quick tips on how I get owners to onboard into bathing and to accept it and really and do it. Because as dermatologists, most of us love bathing. We find it really beneficial, but we're already asking our owners to do quite a bit. So how do we get them to accept bathing their dog so frequently and understand the importance of that? So today I'm hoping to just really focus on some tips that I talk to my clients about to get them, you know, maybe not excited, but at least accepting of bathing. So it really, you know, number one comes down to communication. We have to communicate with our owners of why we are sending home the shampoo that's more expensive than the product they found, you know, over the counter at a pet store. For me, there's a couple different reasons I think bathing is extremely important. One, it helps to remove debris. And when we talk about pets who have any form of allergy and, you know, there's so many things in the environment that can get on their skin, whether we're talking about a flea allergic pet and we need to remove things like flea dirt, we have an environmentally allergic pet and we have a lot of things like pollens or molds where I am in the Pacific Northwest, or dust mites or human dander, all these things that pets can be allergic to. We know that dogs and cats, they absorb these things cutaneously. And that's why we see more pruritus and skin and ear infections versus, you know, us as people with our allergies, we sneeze and get watery eyes. They're absorbing these things. So if we can take these things off of their skin through frequent bathing, our hope is in some degree, we're minimizing that response that's being elicited by their allergies by having those things sit on their skin. So that's one of the big reasons, is just to help to remove those pollens and all that debris. But for most of our cases, when we talk about frequent bathing, it really is having products that have antiseptic properties. So things like chlorhexidine or salicylic acid, things that in this world where we're really trying to minimize the use of antibiotics, you know, as much as we can, try to prevent that. Some infections we can treat just through frequent bathing, or if we can at least spread out the use of antimicrobials in these allergic pets, so they're not going on antibiotics every other month, but we can just, you know, spread them out to maybe once or twice a year if they have bad allergies. So using products and being specific about the ingredients can be really helpful with that. Moisturizing. Some of these products have ceramide precursors, things that really help to restore the epidermal barrier. And there is a ton of research being done with epidermal barrier in allergic patients and how important it is. They've done studies looking at non-lesional skin, where the skin doesn't look like it has any problem with it, but in an allergic patient, even non-lesional skin can be not normal. And so we're hoping to restore that through some of these products that use things like ceramides and phytosphingosine. Another big thing when we talk to owners besides, you know, why are we using certain products or why do we care about bathing, is also explaining to them the importance of frequency. So when I ask an owner with a pet with a really bad infection, hey, can we bathe your pet, you know, every other day at this point just to get rid of the infection, or once a day, I want to set up the expectation that one, that's probably not going to be forever. And two, by committing to something that frequent, we might be able to avoid things like antibiotics if we can help it. But we have to set the expectation that, you know, that's not going to hopefully be a forever thing. Like, give me, you know, let's do it for 3 weeks. Let's come back, check the infection. If things are better, then maybe we can spread things out. If I'm going to ask an owner to, as maintenance, bathe weekly, I make sure they know why and why it's important, even when their pet looks wonderful and they seem to be doing well, why it's really important for them to still be bathing once a week for all those reasons that we just talked about. But the frequency is really important in making sure we're changing that. In a world where it can be really hard for, you know, owners to get into our offices because we're all so booked out, or maybe, you know, they're nervous of exposure with everything COVID related right now. If they call or there's an infection they're worried about and we don't want to send antibiotics out the door because we can't do cytology, then I'll talk to owners about bathing more frequently. So if they have a chlorhexidine product that they bathe once a week with at home, let's try to do it every single day, really focusing on the area and see if we get clinical improvement. But then I can feel satisfied that I didn't just throw antibiotics at something that maybe didn't need it. So you can change frequency on a product that owners have at home. And that can be really beneficial of giving owners something to do for a potential infection without using products or drugs that we, you know, don't want to inappropriately use. And then the type of product, you cannot be afraid to change. Sometimes people think, you know, we only use chlorhexidine products, and obviously we use a lot of chlorhexidine just based on the nature of dermatology and pyoderma. But make sure you know why you're selecting certain products. You know, if it's a sole chlorhexidine shampoo, and you just find yeast, is that really the product you should be using? Or maybe we want to back off and use something like, you know, a product with clinbazole or myconazole in it. In general, when we talk about pyodermas, we like chlorhexidine products that are 3 to 4%. So an over-the-counter product the owner bought that maybe is just a 1% chlorhexidine, because 0.5 to 1% is often what's found over-the-counter, that might not be that beneficial for us. And I'll explain to owners why it's really important that we pick this product that's 3 or 4% chlorhexidine. You can get some synergistic effects if you have a 2% chlorhexidine product that also has myconazole within it. So that can be another option, especially if you do get infections that are a mix of cocci and say a yeast, then you can get that synergistic effect and also hopefully be helping both those infections. So I'm not afraid to change the product for what that pet needs at that time based on what I'm seeing with cytology. But I make sure to communicate to owners why I'm sending home a different bottle of shampoo. Same with when I do ear cleansers. Why am I sending home this other ear cleanser right now when maybe they just got something from me 2 months ago? I tell them to save it because potentially we'll come back to that. But I want them to know why I feel it is important for us to make this change in this therapy so that we can have a better chance of controlling their pet's allergies and in the skin disease itself. Make sure you or your staff, your technicians, your assistants, your CSRs that are going over discharge instructions, really explain how important it is to leave on these products. You know, I always tell owners 5 to 10 minutes, you know, I say 10, I hope for 10, but realistically, if you could at least give me 5, these products are usually only working when they're on the skin. So when owners are wary that, you know, their pet hates the bath and they're going to be miserable, we look for options. So I've had owners where, you know, if it's summertime and they can put the product on their pet outside and then take them for a walk all sudsy, like, you know, no big deal. They can be sudsy when they walk. Our puppy, we used to bathe outside and then let her run around the backyard for 10 minutes before we rinsed it off. So those things can make pets or make owners more successful than just say, oh, I'll just make them, you know, suffer and sit in a bathtub for 10 minutes while they're shivering and shaking. You want it to work with the owner to make sure they're going to be successful with that. Lick pads. I have owners where they'll use lick pads or a similar product where you can stick it onto the side of the bathtub and, you know, put something on there like canned dog food or some kind of nut butter that's safe, that the pet can just sit there and lick and be distracted and entertained for those 5 to 10 minutes while I sit in the bathtub. So it's all about setting up your owner for success so they understand why are they using these products. They understand the importance of keeping it on their skin so we can be more successful with it. They understand why we would change a product in a certain situation. And they understand why we might change the frequency and that we're not just doing this to make the owner suffer. We're doing it with a purpose. We might increase it for a bit in the seasons that we know your pet likes to flare with a pyoderma. Hey, we're doing pretty good right now. Maybe we can back off a bit. And if we see they flare, we're going to go back to that weekly bathing long-term. So I find that when we work with owners that we really educate them on why they are doing it. And that includes during the exam, but also in the home care instructions, because we all know owners go home. I do this too. I go home from a doctor or my pediatrician for my kids. And then I think I'm going to remember everything and I don't. So it's important that you document it, you talk to the owner, you make sure you're setting them up for success. If they say there's no way I can bathe my pet, then maybe we're looking for alternative topical therapies. But it's all about that communication, that they know why we're doing certain things, why we're changing products, why we're changing the frequency, and why bathing matters in the first place. These are all things that we have to make sure we verbally and in a written manner give to our clients so they will actually do it. I hope that is helpful. I get asked a lot of questions about frequency of bathing and how to get clients to do it. And these are just some easy ways that I'm hoping you can implement into your practice. As always, if you have ideas about podcast episodes, if you enjoy the podcast, always feel free to reach out. It really fuels me to keep going when I hear you guys are learning from it. And then always feel free to leave a review. I love seeing them because it just gets the information out to more people. And again, you know, I'm a creature of positive reinforcement, and I know that you guys are loving it. And I'm always happy to put out the content. Until next time, remember, keep those owners educated and keep those dogs and cats, if you can, if they'll let you, bathed.